Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might accidentally find the show. Appreciate all of you. And we do this every Sunday, live radio show from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's also a podcast. So if you should miss any of the live show on any given Sunday, the podcast is always available on Monday on iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, Stitcher, all the places you love to listen to podcasts. To take you on the journey this week, you have your host, Gregory Neesmith, into spreading special stuff, also an entrepreneur and on-air personality, and representing the city of brotherly love, but now living in Harlem world. And normally sitting to my left would be Asha Davis, the award-winning advertising executive, comedy writer, and she's a proud Torontonian who's from Canada. She is out today, but will be back at it with us next week. So shout out to Asha, one of the reasons why this show does what it does. Always appreciate her. And shout out also to Kirsten Magwood, one of the original members of this team that got this whole thing popping. For those who want to come along on the journey today, you can call in at any time. The phone lines will be wide open at area code 212-650-6903. That's area code 212-650-6903. Or for those who like to watch and prefer to comment with their fingers and do a little typing and writing, Facebook Live is up and running. Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. That's Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. GregoryNeesmith. Today's episode is a special one, special edition. Sometimes life happens and you roll with it. And so I'm doing that today. So today's episode is called Unscripted. And for those who follow the show, you know that I like to use some unwords. The unbelievable, the uninhibited, the underrated, the underreported, the unjust, underdog stuff. And so today's show is called Unscripted because I actually shouldn't even be here right now. I woke up not feeling well, a little under the weather. On top of that, I played basketball yesterday, hurt my hand. Hand's a little swollen, so that's in a little bit of pain from balling yesterday. And I probably should have taken the day off, but I didn't want to cancel last minute to do today's show. And I'm also going to be helping out the sports show, which comes on after that. So I am here. And normally shows, there's a lot of preparation that goes into doing this so that I can make sure myself, Asha, we show up ready to get personal about the news and the culture with you guys. But today we're going to do it unscripted. And so today's show is with you and me and whatever is on your mind today. Call in and share. Type a comment and share. Put out a topic out there and I'll talk about it, or we can talk about it together. With that, let me talk about some stuff that's going on in my world lately, since we do get personal about the news and the culture. I'm a full-time entrepreneur, so I left my corporate gig Q4, December 2014. And I am literally in year three right now. So all of 2015 was year one, all of 2016 was year two, and currently the year we're in, 2017, is all of year three. About to finish my third year free from my 16-year corporate career doing marketing, business strategy, innovation, general management at Kraft Foods, and then also Mondelez International. Shout out to any folks who are currently on their corporate grind and loving it, which is all good. And for those who might be on that grind and feeling like it's time for them to move on, I know that feeling. And definitely leave a comment or call in and we can talk about it, because I can tell you all about how I went through the challenges, the emotions, the planning that it took to leave that job and start in a world of uncertainty, which can be what happens when folks make that move from study job to the uncharted waters of entrepreneurship. Now, with that, I was thinking about what the journey's been like. And I did a show back in April. So for those who follow along on the podcast, or if you want to follow along on the podcast, you can search The Gregory Neesmith Show on places like iTunes and Google Play. And if you go back to August of this year, there's an episode called Entrepreneurship, Past, Present, and Future. And in that episode, I talk about the first year. And even more in detail, I talk about literally the lead up to leaving in 2014. And I talk about some of the early months in year one in 2015. And I share about some of the not so good feelings I had during that time. Some of the angst, some of the anxiety, some of the uncomfort. I talked about some of my doubt. I talked about the lots of explaining I feel like I had to do. Everybody had questions. Why'd you leave? How's it working out? You making any money yet? What's going on? I felt like explaining to people what I did was also like a full-time job. But not surprisingly, the commentary or feedback I got from that show was one of people really appreciated. For some people, they were about to make a move, and so it was timely for them. Or for folks who were in year one of their entrepreneur journey, which happens to a lot of us, right? Because for better or for worse, we now call this economy, or one of its nicknames, is the gig economy. Because everybody's got a side hustle, or a couple side hustles, or piecing together a bunch of part-time jobs to make one job. And all of us aspiring, a lot of us, to have that gig or that side hustle turn into a main hustle. And so the reception was awesome, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I definitely wanted to share from the heart that everything wasn't rosy and make sure that people were feeling a certain way. They knew they weren't alone if they were feeling that way in their year one of the journey. And so cool. That was year one. And now I'm rounding out year three. And some cool things have happened in the past week. In the past week, I got the official word that both the trademark and the LLC for my parent company, or I should say my flagship entrepreneur venture called Underdog Stuff, which is consulting, coaching, and community-based business, all got approved this week. And for those of you who may follow me on social media, you saw that I posted it about a day or two ago, and exciting. It's like good stuff. It's another step making me feel more official. And next month, I'll be coming up on a year of The Gregory Neesmith Show, which is crazy. The initial episode of The Gregory Neesmith Show happened at midnight on Tuesday, November 8th, going into November 9th, which for those who may remember, that was actually election night. And it is hard to believe that a year later, there's still a show, which, to be honest, I wasn't sure if there would be a show a year later or not, but there is. And thank you to all of you who supported the show. It's been almost 12 months now, and literally about 11,000 downloads later of the podcast, and over 11,000 views and plays of the Facebook Lives and the YouTube videos. It's been awesome, and also just downright surreal. And I'm grateful. And I say all that to say that next month, I'm almost certain I'm going to be doing some shows where I talk about year three for me, which is the year of 2017, where I'll talk about during year three going through finishing up the first year of The Gregory Neesmith Show and all the ups and downs that came with that. And like as an example, I'll give a little tidbit. I was originally nervous to both launch the show and then also to call it The Gregory Neesmith Show. Because I made up the story in my head that if it turned out the show didn't work out, that it would mean that people didn't like me. Now, intellectually, I know that that's stupid, but, you know, I'm human. If someone didn't like the show, it didn't mean they didn't like me. They just didn't like the show. But I remember being, you know, all up in my feelings about that. And for those of you who followed the whole year, you may have noticed that early in this year. So she'll start in November of 16. And by like January, February of 2017, the show actually changed its name to Underdog Stuff with Gregory Neesmith instead of The Gregory Neesmith Show. And that was me just trying to hedge my bets that just in case it didn't work out, my name wouldn't be fully attached to the show. Some of the crazy things that we do as people, or at least I did as a person. But about a month or so ago, I actually changed the name back to The Gregory Neesmith Show as my confidence has started to build over the past year. And the feedback that you guys give me, both the stuff that's working and not working, because all of it adds up to me continuing to work on my hosting game and the movement that we want to start for all the underdogs out there and for my people, and even the occasional Trump supporter that happens to listen to the show, because I feel like maybe we can have a conversation that they're not hearing over at Fox News. But I say all that to say that I'm going to talk a lot about year three, which includes finishing up year one of the Gregory Neesmith Show over the next couple months. And then it got me to thinking, year three, awesome. Going to talk about it. Year one, have talked about it. Everybody always cares about year one. And then I was like, what about year two? What about the middle child in all this? And so I actually Googled year two entrepreneurship, because I was just curious. I'm like, are there articles and YouTube videos and things out there that help people understand what year two is going to be like? Because there's a lot of focus on your 3 to 5 year long-term goal. So a lot of people talk about year three. And of course, a lot of people talk about year one, but the sandwich, the middle child, year two, 2016 for me. And I Googled some stuff and there really weren't a lot of articles about year two. And I was like, that sucks. Because for those who are fortunate enough to make it to year two, I'm sure it'd be nice to actually hear some words of wisdom, hear what other folks were going through, how they survived it. And so, as a result, one of the things I want to talk about on today's unscripted episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show, Let's Get Personal About the News and the Culture, is 2016, which was my year through year two. Some of the ups, some of the downs, some of the things that happened all the way around. Any entrepreneurs out there who are listening to the show, share some of your thoughts on your year two. Some things that got you down and some things that got you up. I'm sure it'll be a difference maker for anyone who is listening and you call in, or anyone who is watching on Facebook Live, facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, or anyone who is listening on WHCR 90.3 FM, the Voice of Harlem in New York City. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm in the studio here, holding it down solo. So I am going to take a break, play a little music, get a little sip of water. And also, I want to take a look over at the Facebook Live and make sure if there's any comments that I read them, and also shout out any of the underdogs and my people or the occasional Trump supporters that might be tuning in today. I appreciate you going on the journey of this unscripted episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show, as we're almost on the 1 year anniversary coming up next month. Can't believe it. Almost about to finish year three of entrepreneurship. Can't believe it. And almost done with the first half an hour of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Can't believe it. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this quick break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Today's episode on scripted. I mean, I like using unwords, as you might know by now, because it's a special delivery of underdog stuff here every week for underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter. And today's show is unscripted because I shouldn't even be here. Feeling a little under the weather. Was almost going to take the day off, but then I also realized that I'm scheduled to help the new 3 p.m. sports talk host today. Didn't want to let them down as they are on their journey of an underdog and starting their way into broadcasting and hosting the show. So I am going to be around for the next few hours hosting today's show and then also helping out with the 3 p.m. sports talk show. Shout out to Asha Davis, who is in Brooklyn, is Brooklyn in the house, without a doubt, who helps me hold it down in here every week. She'll be back next week making it happen. Shout out to my people on the Facebook Live, Kirsten Magwood. For those of you who are like, that name sounds very, very familiar. It should, because she's one of the reasons why this show is where it is today. One of the original members that got this whole thing popping at midnight on Tuesdays. Talk about an interesting time slot. But hey, as they say, when the blessing comes, you take it and then work it. And Kirsten, Asha, and I did, coming in here every Tuesday at midnight to 2 a.m. making the Gregory Neesmith Show happen. And she has a comment going on the Facebook Live saying she likes a t-shirt. So for those who may be listening and can't see, the t-shirt says, "Fight Back, sign Huey Newton, 1966. And speaking of t-shirts, Courtney says, "I want an Underdog Stuff t-shirt." You know, I hear you, and I'm gonna listen to you, because I've had several people say they want either coffee mugs or t-shirts and things like that, and I think you are just another reminder that it's time for me to make it happen. I think part of me gets a little even slow to act with it, because it still hasn't sunk into me that literally a year ago, so let's rewind back to October of 2016, none of this existed. And now all of a sudden, fast forward to now, there's people listening to the show and people who are interested in being a part of it and supporting it with things like wanting a t-shirt, which I see as something that's a big deal and something that I appreciate. And so, yes, I'm going to work on it. So my commitment to you, Courtney, and to all the underdogs out there is I will figure it out to get some Underdog Stuff and some Gregory Neesmith Show merchandise created so that it's out there in the world, just like we got this show out there in the world. And also, Kirsten Magwood says, "Well, I guess you have some articles to write," referring to the fact that, as I said earlier in the opening to the show, is that a lot of people talk about year one of this thing called being an entrepreneur, or year one of anything, right? Everyone loves the first time, the first year, the first birthday party. And then there's always sayings like, good things come in threes. Third time's the charm. What's your 3 to 5 year plan? And then everybody skips over year two, or skips over the middle child. I'm not going to do that. Now, you also know, speaking of uns, normally each show, there is a discussion sharing about some of the unavoidable news stories of the week. We may or may not get to some of those today. Holler if you do want to get into what I call Don't Be a Dicka. For those of you who may have heard, Mike Dicka, once referred to as America's coach, used to coach the Bears, made some interesting comments about race, the NFL, politics, oppression, things like that. I may get into it. Let me know if you want to. Don't be a dicka. May even get into the culture. Slim Shady, a.k.a. Eminem, was on the, I don't even know if a lot of people still watch the Hip Hop Awards, but BET Hip Hop Awards were this week. And you would have thought that the only thing that happened was that Eminem did a freestyle. I don't even know if it was an entire show, or just maybe it was just a show of Eminem doing a freestyle. And he called out Mr. Colt 45, Tope Fiasco, a.k.a. Agent Orange, sometimes referred to as Donald Trump. And there's been a lot of commentary about whether Slim Shady held it down or not. Was it an awesome thing? Was it a big deal? Not a big deal. I may talk about it. We'll see. I want to talk about it, but I don't want to. We'll see. Slim Shady. Post in the comments, is there a topic that you want to get into? And it's unscripted, so we can just freestyle and talk about it. Or you can call in at area code 212-650-6903. Today's episode, unscripted. Also, just shout out to you. I appreciate you. All right, year two, being an entrepreneur, 2016 for me. What are some things that I was feeling or going through? Let's see. First, the honeymoon was over. There's a lot of excitement in year one. Now, sure, there's doubt, there's nerves, but there's this freedom. There's this sense of, not only for me personally, but I think even loved ones and people around me, of whether things were working well or not in year one, everybody was just excited. They were proud. I think some people also live vicariously through me. Even I, when I would have moments of things working out, or, ooh, is this real estate investment company a good idea or not? Or, I launched this show and brand called Dudes of Disruption. Shout out to Tommy Spiro and Nick Papadopoulos. We did the Dudes of Disruption talk radio show and podcast together in Men's Group in New York City. I was interning in Philadelphia on a station called WRD, Pennsylvania's only black-owned talk radio station, doing a show there every week called The Word Up Show. The Word Up Show, shout out to Keaton Nichols and that whole crew. And for better or worse, it was still, everything was new. It was the first time. Year two, a lot of things ain't the first time anymore. Hopping on a train on Saturday mornings to go down to the radio station at WRD in year two, it's not a shiny object anymore. You're tired from the night before. You realize that you've lost a bit of your social life on Friday nights when most people are free, and on Saturday during the day. And then I'd come back to New York and prep for a show called Dudes of Disruption that used to be on Sundays here at WHCR. So one of the things I want people to know, and it's real, the honeymoon is over in year two. You start to realize that you're getting tired. For those who wake up at 5 or 4 in the morning to work on their side hustle before they go into their 9 to 5. You had an adrenaline rush in year one. It was brand new in year one. Now in year two, you're like, tired. In year two, that train ride to Philly every Saturday morning, some days were tougher than others. And I don't say this to have someone go, well, I don't want to go into year two. I'm not going there. I'm saying it to say that it's just part of the journey and that it's okay if you're tired. It's okay if you're second guessing things because the honeymoon's over and that's okay. It's year two. But one of the things that helped me get over the fact that the honeymoon was over was, especially in times when I maybe didn't want to get up or didn't want to do what I had to do, was to remember, why did I start? And I started because I was following a curiosity that I had about broadcasting, a curiosity I had about financial freedom, a curiosity I had about being a leader, a curiosity I had about radio. And so in year two, I think it's very important to keep reminding yourself that when you have those tough days and when the honeymoon's over, sometimes the best way to keep going is to remember why the heck you did it in the first place. And also I had to remind myself about how unhappy I was before I left to start that whole entrepreneurial grind. And that knowing the sadness of not doing it actually outweighed sometimes the exhaustion or the lack of adrenaline rush that kind of left some of the things I did in year two. Holla if you're in your year two. And you know what I'm talking about when I'm like that whole idea of honeymoon's over. I mean, it happens in all walks of life, right? Your second year in your new job. Shoot, second year in people's marriages. Second year in sports. They call it the sophomore slump when athletes have a good rookie year. And then sometimes things are a little tougher the second time around. Or in baseball, which the baseball playoffs are going on for the Major League Baseball, they talk about a pitcher can look good the first time around. Then the second time around, people kind of know what you're doing. And it gets tougher. So it happens. Don't stop just because the honeymoon is over in year two. Also, nothing worked as planned. Year two, I realized not a darn thing worked as planned. Nothing. I had all these plans. I remember year one, I had all these plans about what year two was going to look like, how much money I was going to be making. Going to monetize the podcast. We're going to start getting employees in some of the ventures I was a part of. The adrenaline rush was going to keep on keeping on. Sky's the limit. Not a darn thing worked out as planned. Nothing. Not a thing. And am I being a bit extreme? Yes and no. Literally, I'd have a plan and it didn't really work out as planned. For example, I started off the year as part of, in 2016, two radio shows. One here in New York called Due to Disruption. The other one called The Word Up Show in Philly. And the plan was to continue to be amazing as a host, build my skill set. Also, I was in a coaching program to be able to do both corporate coaching and personal life coaching. And so I thought that by the end of year two, end of 2016, the Word Up Show and Due to Disruption Show would be growing, that I'd be a paid radio host, and that also I'd be coaching. And by the end of year two, which was the end of 2016, I finished the coaching program. But at that point, I had actually chosen to leave both Due to Disruption and the Word Up Show. Now, that wasn't the plan. So I found myself at the end of year two, actually starting in a way over, launching the show that I'm here on now, kicking off the start of Underdog Stuff Consulting and Coaching and Community Company. And literally, like I said, nothing went as planned. And that's not good or bad. It's just know that there's a saying I once learned, which I think helped me out tremendously through year two, which is be committed but not attached. The best kind of example I could give would be for any of us who struggle with figuring out how to be in relationship to our parents. The way you would play out committed, not attached would be, let's say you and your mom don't see eye to eye recently, or you guys have been fighting, or just not on the same page, or with your father. And the example of committed and not attached would be, committed and attached is like when you go, I am committed to having a better relationship with my parents or my parent. And so I am going to let them know that I'm going to have brunch with them every Sunday, starting next week, hopefully after the Gregory Neesmith Show. Have brunch with them at like 3:30. And if your parents or parents decline that, you're like, then I guess I'm not going to start spending more time with them. Because you were committed to and attached to like the way it looked. And so if you're one of your parents said, nah, Sundays at brunch don't work, then you just say, okay, never mind. That's the example of being committed and attached. Committed and not attached would be one of your parents say to you like, okay, that's cool. You want to spend more time with me? Maybe I'm up for that. Let's go grocery shopping every Tuesday together. You may not even like grocery shopping. Tuesday wasn't even a part of your original plan. There's some things you got to move around to make Tuesday work. But you say yes. Why? Because you were committed to spending more time with your parents or one of your parents, but you weren't attached to how it was going to look or what it was going to be like. And so I say all that to say, in year two, nothing goes as planned. But your commitment can be unwavering. Just don't be attached to how it looks. And so as I look back in year two, actually, yeah, I didn't plan to leave due to disruption and the Word Up show. But it happened, and it happened with honor and gracefully. And I'm still friends with all the folks who I was involved with on both of those two brands and shows. But I was still committed to, you know, spreading special stuff, fighting for underdogs to go from stuck to unstuck, and hopefully helping myself and others rediscover how special we are in the world, so we can go from underdogs to contenders, contenders to champs, and champs to legends. And so in year two, what I learned is that, yeah, stuff doesn't go as planned, and continue to be committed to the things like my higher purpose, my mission in life, being the best person I can be for the world, and to not be attached to how that's going to look. Because I'm almost certain that when you get to year two, nothing's going to go as planned. But you can still continue to push forward on your commitments. I'm going to take a quick break. You listen to The Gregory Neesmith Show on WHTR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. It's a live radio show, and it's also a podcast. The live show happens every Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. on WHTR. Shout out to folks who may be driving around in their cars right now listening. Or shout out to folks who are on WHCR.org watching and listening online. And, of course, shout out to the folks on the Facebook Live, Facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith. Phone lines are wide open today at area code 212-650-6903. And the comments are wide open on the Facebook Live. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to come back and talk more about year two. I may talk about some stuff going on in the news and the culture. Don't be a dicka. Did anybody see Eminem on the BET Awards? What's going on with Donald Trump? Did he tweet anything this morning that warrants our attention? More of The Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. Episode Unscripted after this break. Welcome back to The Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs, to my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might accidentally find the show. You made it to the right place where we get personal about the news and the culture. Today's episode, Unscripted. Why unscripted? First of all, for those who listen to the show, you know I like to use a lot of unwords. Unbelievable. Unjust. The underrated. Unavoidable, you know, underdog stuff. And today's show is called Unscripted because I'm not even supposed to be here today. Woke up not feeling well. My hands a little swollen from an injury yesterday playing basketball. Shout out to all the people who love playing basketball. It's my favorite sport. NBA season starting on Tuesday. I haven't been watching any football. Can't wait to watch some basketball. Trust in the process. Shout out to the 76ers, my hometown. Supposed to be good this year. See what happens. But no, I'm not supposed to be here today. And I almost called out, which is also why Asha isn't here. No need for her to come all the way from Brooklyn. Is Brooklyn in the house without a doubt? She'll be back next week. And so I figured, you know, life happens sometimes. So we'll just do a show where talk about whatever is on your mind, whatever comes to mind from my end too, and we'll hang out together and we'll get personal about the news and the culture. And normally we cover a lot of news and politics. We may talk a little bit about that today. Depends on how you're feeling, how I'm feeling. I may talk about the Bears, coach. Don't be a dicker. May talk about Slim Shady, who it seems like he was the only person at the BET Hip Hop Awards, because that's the only thing I've heard about from that award show, which I didn't even watch, but I did see the freestyle that Eminem did, talking about Colt 45, Agent Orange, a.k.a. Donald Trump. For those who are listening live right now, let me know what's going on in the NFL. Anything popping today? It seems there have been less and less protests as the weeks have gone on. So, you know, if something's going on and you think we should know about it, let us know. Shout out to Tanya last week from Harlem, who called in with the update about what Mike Pence did in Indianapolis. That's what I'm talking about. Underdogs out here keeping track of things, giving folks up to the date news. Called in near the end of last week's show to let us know what was going on with that. Appreciate you, Tanya. And shout out to Deborah from Manhattan, who always checks in and lets us know what's going on in the world and her thoughts and opinions. Appreciate all the underdogs that always jump in either online or on the phone. And speaking of underdogs, shout out to Trisha, who said that she needed to hear this today and that the conversation about the second year of entrepreneurship is right on time. Shout out to Trisha. Shout out to the Quakers out there, University of Penn, West Philly, University City, Philadelphia, for any folks listening who have spent some time on Locust Walk in the University of Pennsylvania. Appreciate you for tuning in and for the comment. And shout out to Courtney, who said not only does she want me to create some underdog stuff t-shirts, but that also she would buy them. And that is awesome, because one of my dreams for year four of entrepreneurship, which will start in January of 2018, is to start to make some money, generate some revenue. You know, I'm a believer. I'll never forget growing up, I used to hear people say things, and sometimes they're sayings that they seem so normal. They seem so cliche growing up. And then you get older and you look back, you're like, why were adults saying that? That don't make no sense. And one of them was, I remember the saying of, I'd rather be happy than rich. I'd rather have a smile on my face. I'd rather be happy than rich. I remember hearing that when I was growing up. And now I'm older and I'm just like, why we gotta choose between happiness and wealth? Why can't we have both? Why can't I have both? Why can't I follow my curiosity and my passion and also get compensated for it? Why I gotta choose? That's a saying that now I wish that I would have known better. I wish it would just be retired as a saying. I want to choose both. So shout out to Courtney, because that statement, which I don't even know if she realizes how big of a deal of a statement it is when she says, I'll buy one, is a sign that there's value that this is creating and that she's getting something out of it and that she's willing to like spend some of her hard-earned money to support it. And that's a big deal. So as I go into year four, I'm looking forward to being on the path to both, which is I already love what I do every day. Love it. So I'm happy. And hopefully I can also go on the path to being wealthy too and have both. Just as a quick aside before I get back to year two of entrepreneurship, there was this story I heard about a guy who was studying to be a life coach. And for several weeks, he was starting to struggle with getting up his enthusiasm to continue to work through the curriculum and the coursework to get his certification. And what it turned out is that someone talked to him and they were like, yo, what's up, man? Like, you just don't seem to have that oomph anymore. Like, you're slowing down. Like, it feels like you're almost giving up. And somebody was like, yo, what's wrong, dude? Like, what's up? Like, why aren't you feeling this coaching program anymore? And he said, and it took him a while, it takes a little deep breath. He was a little cautious. I think he also felt a bit embarrassed to share how he was really feeling. But the story goes, he goes, I'm not into this coaching program thing anymore, because he's like, you know what? I'm really feeling like I just rather fish all day. Like, go fishing. Like, I love fishing. I just want to fish. And part of the reason why he didn't want to share that feeling or say that out loud is because he was judging himself. He felt like maybe he was a bad person. Maybe he was lazy. Like, what's wrong with him that all he wanted to do was, like, most of the time was just go fishing? And I don't know about you, but there's some things in life that I actually really, really love doing. And I at times feel embarrassed to say them, or maybe people will think I'm lazy or something's wrong with me. Or this guy's like, I just want to fish and I don't even want to say it out loud. I'm judging myself. I think others are going to judge me too. But luckily he did say it out loud. And he had a friend of his say to him, well, what would it be like if you found a way to fish all the time and still make money? And so a little bit of circumstance, a little bit of exploration, a little bit of not judging himself so harshly anymore about wanting to fish all the time. And I don't know if it happened by accident or whether it was intentional, but either way, what happened was he ended up taking someone out to go fishing. And if you know about the New York City area, it's a very urban area, not a lot of outdoorsy stuff happening, but you can go to different parts of Connecticut and some of the surrounding areas and be more outdoorsy. But he took someone fishing and they ended up having a conversation, and he did some like coaching for them, because for that person who's normally used to being in the city setting, for them it was like this big change to be like out amongst the water and amongst nature, and they felt a little less uninhibited and they were able to share how they were feeling. And then let me tell you what happened next after this.
WHCR 90.3 FM, New York.
And so the guy is out on the water. He has his friend out there. They're talking. They end up getting into some like life coaching stuff. And the gentleman feels very comfortable and like in a new element and able to like clear his head. And he think the guy, he was grateful that he was able to go fishing with him. And so fast forward, the gentleman who at one point was no longer that intrigued by the coaching program, was judging himself for like all he wanted to do in the world, which is go fishing. I just want to fish. What's wrong with me? He realized that he could integrate fishing and coaching. And so he ended up starting a coaching business where he would take people who weren't necessarily that had that much exposure to things in nature and also wanted to get some type of help with, you know, closing gaps of where they are and where they want to go in life. And so he would do it while taking them out on a boat fishing. And lo and behold, he has this big time business. And I sit back and I go, man, that's genius. Forget about having a call with a client or having them come to some regular old office. Like, this dude uses the fishing boat as his office to do his life coaching. I'm like, that's brilliant. And it's brilliant because it's another example of how he got to, you get to, I get to be happy and wealthy. And also it's an example of we get to let go of whatever judgment we have about the things that make us happy. Imagine if he would have held on to like he was a bad person for wanting to fish instead of letting it out, talking to someone, getting creative around it. And now he gets to be happy and fish, finish his coaching program, and now help people doing something he loves to do and getting paid for it. Happy, wealthy. You don't have to choose. And so all of that was a roundabout way to saying, thank you, Courtney, for saying that you would buy a t-shirt. And it's, for me, another step of knowing that I get to do what I love and then also create revenue, income, wealth at the same time. And so I appreciate it. Speaking of that, year two, back to things that happened in year two. I talked about year two of entrepreneurship. I'm in year three right now. I talked about year one back in August episode. If you want to look that up, you can go search The Gregory Niesmith Show on iTunes, on Podomatic, Stitcher, Google Play, all those places you listen to podcasts. Look for around August an episode called Entrepreneurship, Past, Present, and Future. And I talk a little bit more in depth about year one. I'm in year three now. A lot of folks talk about the third year's the charm, your three-year plan. And I realize that year three, people talk about it. I'm talking about it. Year one, talked about it. And then year two, the middle child gets left out. So I'm talking about year two. And I talked about earlier that one of the things that happens, the emotion of the honeymoon being over. Also talked about that nothing goes as planned. I also want to talk about in year two, I still wasn't making any money. Not really. Making a little bit of money from the group coaching I was doing with the men's group in New York City called Dudes of Disruption. But otherwise, I mean, if you looked at my balance sheet, there was more money going out than coming in. I was paying for a coaching program to build my skill set as a coach. I was paying to edit the radio show and turn it into a podcast. I was paying to hop on a train to go to Philadelphia every week for the Word Up show on WRD 900 AM, which is now also 96.1 FM in Philly. A lot of money going out. Not a lot of money coming in. So for those who are going into year two or not there yet, I want to give you the heads up. You might not make money, or you might not make a lot of money. And that's okay. I just want you to know, because you might see it from afar, or oftentimes we see people once they're years down their journey and we see the success they're having. And I'm always reminded by that saying, overnight success takes about 10 years. I'm telling you, year two, a lot of folks ain't making no money. And I just want to be honest with you. I wasn't making any money. It's mostly spending money. Now, let's put that in context, though, because I think sometimes, or at least for me personally, when I was in it, I forgot about certain principles about life and business that I knew, but for some reason couldn't apply them to myself in the moment because I was all up in my feelings. I've worked on businesses before. I spent 16 years in consumer packaged goods, leading teams and businesses around the world. Building brands, disrupting categories, turning teams and businesses around. And somehow I forgot that oftentimes in year one and even in year two, businesses aren't humming yet. They aren't fully profitable. They're still in invest and build mode, test and learn mode. And I forgot that. So I don't want you to forget it. Most businesses in the first few years are investing. They're spending a lot of money on initial marketing activities. They may be spending money on building their skill set. If you have something in the tech space or certain things that are proprietary in nature, you might be spending money on getting patents and trademarks. Those are all costs that in the immediate moment don't come with a payoff. Now, the payoff's going to come, but initially, their upfront costs, their investment costs. Me going to get my coaching certification, there was no money getting generated in the moment while I'm in there paying the thousands of dollars to go there. But down the line, maybe in year three, definitely in year four, it's coming. But imagine, that's a perfect example. I think school is one of the great examples of, yeah, it has long-term value, but in the moment, you're not making money. And so I wanted to make sure folks know that that's part of the business cycle. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. You haven't failed. Keep grinding in year two. The money will come because you get to, I get to, we get to be both happy and we get to be wealthy. We do. And just a couple other things on the revenue and money piece. One of my favorite things that I learned recently was they talk about sales and, you know, you interact with a potential customer a certain amount of times before they may actually say yes to you and actually spend money. You may have to contact them several times. And there's been studies that show on the first contact, very few people will actually purchase something. Think about how many times you needed to see a commercial or walk by an item in the grocery store, or have a friend tell you about something multiple times before you actually said, you know what, I'm going to go do it. And so just to keep that in mind, most sales happen not on the first time you've interacted with someone, not on the second time, not on the third time, not on the fourth time. The fifth contact through about the 12th contact. So imagine your fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th, 11th, 12th time. That's where about 80% of sales happen. So keep grinding. You're in year two. You're just getting started. Some people haven't even interacted with you that much yet. Stay the course. Invest in yourself. Invest in your brand. I'm going to take a quick break. You listen to The Gregory Neesmith Show. Today's episode, unscripted, because I'm not even supposed to be here. So I'm just talking about some stuff that's on my mind. Sometimes whatever comes to mind. And what's on my mind today is entrepreneurship and the fact that I'm about to finish out year three at the end of this year. The fact that The Gregory Neesmith Show is about to have its 1 year anniversary next month. And, you know, a lot of emotions and ups and downs and excitement about that. And it got me to thinking that I kind of skipped over year two, which was 2016. Because Entrepreneurship Past, Present, and Future, that episode released in August, available in your podcast feed, talked about year one and also the lead up to year one. I'm now going to be talking to you a lot about year three because it also includes the first year anniversary of this show. And then I'm like, darn it, I skipped over year two, the middle child. And then I Googled some articles, or at least attempted to, second year entrepreneurship. About two articles came up. Shout out to Kirsten Magwood, who commented on the Facebook Live. She goes, guess there's some articles I get to start writing. Fair point. Challenge taken. You are correct. I should write more. The talking thing is cool, but some people like to read. And so that's going to be one of my commitments in 2018 is to start putting pen to paper along with talking, which I enjoy doing with you guys, with the underdogs, with my people, and the occasional Trump supporter. I enjoy doing that every Sunday live, 1 to 2 p.m. And then on Mondays, the podcast comes out. I'm going to take a quick break. And when we come back, more of whatever's on your mind, my mind, our mind. And maybe I'll talk a little unavoidable news. Maybe. We'll see. More of The Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to The Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture. We do this every week, Sundays, 1 to 3 p.m. And normally, in the studio, is Asha Davis, award-winning advertising executive and comedy writer and proud Canadian from Toronto. She'll be back in the building next Sunday. Appreciate her. And shout out also to one of the original members of The Gregory Neesmith Show, Kirsten Magwood, who commented earlier, and I meant to shout out her show. She now has her own show called The Best of the Best, which airs here on WHCR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. And we always get into this debate, is it Tuesday night or Wednesday morning? I say Tuesday night at midnight, but technically Tuesday night at midnight is Wednesday mornings. But Tuesday nights going into Wednesday mornings at midnight, you should tune in. And you can hear her live talking about some of the best things going on in politics, in tech, in culture. And it's a great show. Please check Kirsten Magwood out. I love seeing underdogs out there do their thing. And as you know, this show is for underdogs, for my people, and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally find the show. Because normally we get into some unavoidable news, which ends up getting into politics. And, you know, I welcome all folks to the debate. I'm going to have my point of view, but I'm open to talking things out with people who might see the news and the culture differently than I do. And we've been talking about year two of entrepreneur life, which was for me, the full year of 2016 was my year two. And I didn't want to just skip over it. But with that said, next month, I know I'm going to be talking a lot about the 1 year anniversary of The Gregory Neesmith Show. Man, I can't believe it's been a year. This show started at midnight on Tuesday night going into Wednesday morning, November 8th going into November 9th, the night of the election. Talk about an interesting and unbelievable, to use an unword, unbelievable night and moment to have a show. I'll never forget that technically the premiere episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show was supposed to start on November 22nd, 2016, which happened to be my birthday. So my birthday's coming up next month, too. Shout out to all the Scorpios out there in the world and the Sagittarius. I'm on the cusp thing, they call it. And so that was supposed to be the premiere episode, but the time slot was open because I was going to be filling it. And so on November 15th and on November 8th, the time was open. So there was free programming space. And I remember talking to our program manager, Angela. Shout out to Angela and for all the work she does, both on air and behind the scenes, to make this thing called WHCR Public Radio work. Appreciate you. And Tina Dixon, who also, they both, we wouldn't have this station, we wouldn't have this platform without them. So shout out to Angela Harden and Tina Dixon. With that, so I was going to do a test run, a run-through show on November 15th. And I remember sitting at home during the morning and afternoon of November 8th. It was going to be election day was happening. I had just moved to Harlem in Manhattan in New York City at the beginning of 2016. But I started off the year in Bayonne, New Jersey, which is a town that neighbors Jersey City and Hoboken, for those who might be familiar with North Jersey. And so I say that to say that because I was still registered to vote in New Jersey. So my day starts off with me driving out to New Jersey, out to Bayonne to go vote. And then I came back. And part of me was feeling both nervous and anxious because I'm like, oh, my show's going to start on November 22nd, 2016. I'm like, I got a test run November 15th, a week from November 8th. I'm like, the election's happening today. And I'm thinking, man, do I want to pass up the chance to get an additional night on radio? And also, I'm hyped. So I'm just like, maybe I should just do it, even though it'll get me over the nerves. I'll have 2 weeks to practice leading up to the 22nd of November, not one. And so I reach out to Angela and I'm like, you know, can I come in a week early to do one of my test runs? And so Tuesday evening, it's confirmed I can come in at midnight on election night to host the first ever Gregory Neesmith Show. I called it like the test run. I called it the test run because that way if it was bad, I could just tell people, hey, it was a test run. The things we do to keep ourselves sane. But most of you tuned in just thought it was a show. But in my head, I was like, I'll call it a test run so that no one can say whether it was good or bad. But anyway, the things I do to shield myself from rejection sometimes. Hopefully, I mean, I know I'm not alone with that, but that's how I did it. But anyway, test run show, election night. So I'm preparing for the show. And, you know, because it always shocks me that some people think that a lot of times radio hosts just come in and they just start talking. I'm like, what profession do you just come in and just start doing stuff ad lib? You there's preparation, there's notes you take, there's reading you do to get yourself prepared and ready. And so Tuesday evening now, election night 2016, November 8th, I'm now going to come in and do the first ever Gregory Neesmith Show. It's election night. I lean left when it comes to my politics. And I'm thinking, man, it's going to be a historic night. We go from a black man being a two-term president of the United States, where only just 50 years ago, there was Jim Crow segregation. It was hard for black folks to vote in federal elections. And literally less than 50 years later, it was a black man who was just finishing up his second term as president. We got a long way to go, but we've made some progress. And then, November 8th, 2016, there were reports that by about 11 o'clock that night, Hillary Clinton would be announced as president of the United States. This country that once said all men and women are created equal, the pursuit of happiness, the American dream for all, would go from a black man as president to now a woman. Never thought that that would happen. And so I'm getting prepared for the show. And back then, before Facebook was so strict, and I'm mad at them, you know, I'm a creative guy too, so they weren't as strict with the copyrights. And I did a Facebook Live back then, but I would also play copyrighted music. And so as a result, I'm pulling together songs like Ladies Night, getting some celebration. I'm pulling together songs because I'm assuming that Hillary Clinton, who I believe had a 67 or 70% chance of winning, that she was going to win. And so I'm preparing my show, looking up the history of how historic this is. Shout out to Shirley Chisholm, who ran back in, I believe, 1972, African-American woman. Shout out to the Voting Rights Act of the 1960s, when all women were finally able to vote in federal elections. Some people think it's the 1920s, but that didn't include all American women. So I like to say the 1960s, when all women in America had access to vote in presidential elections. And I'm like, man, this is a big deal. And so I'm coming in, I'm ready. And as most of you would know by now, how can we not know, that at midnight, I start off the show with actually a Black Sheep song. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with this or you can get with that. You can get with it. And so, you know, because it's an election night. And I got all my songs queued up. People are calling in. And now about 12:30-ish at night, as going into about 1 a.m., folks are starting to call in. First of all, I was just grateful that anybody would call in at midnight on a Tuesday. You know, people got work. They got stuff to do. And so I was grateful and still am grateful for my friends like Courtney, who I used to do the Word Up show with, Ash Cash, who used to have the 1 to 2 p.m. slot here on WHCR and now has his show, The Ash Cash Show, the financial motivator he is, along with Tatima Jones. They have their show now on Friday evenings here on WHCR 90.3 FM. And go search The Ash Cash Show on places like iTunes and stuff like that so you can listen to podcasts if you don't listen to a show live on Friday nights. And so folks like that calling in, and the mood was starting to change and shift because it seemed like every couple minutes, the chances of Hillary winning and the chances of Trump winning were heading in different directions. And so by time it got to 2 a.m. or close to 2 a.m. when I was about to end the first ever Gregory Neesmith show on November 8th, which turns into, you know, November 9th, technically, from midnight to 2 a.m. When I was about to get off the air, it was announced that Trump was likely going to win Pennsylvania. That would put him over the hump and that he was likely going to be the next president of the United States, the 45th president of the United States. And I'll never forget that I went home that night and I couldn't sleep. Because, you know, for any folks who are out there who perform, whether it's on stage, whether it's as an actor or actress, or whether you do radio, while I was here from midnight to 2 a.m., experiencing it with all of you underdogs out there and the folks calling in and commenting online, I was still performing. So emotionally, I was a bit detached from the standpoint of like I had a show to do. Like I couldn't break down or be like, I can't believe this is happening. Like I'm hosting a show. And so I remember I was up wide awake watching the acceptance speech from Donald Trump that night and just taking a look at the coverage that I could now look at as just a citizen as opposed to a radio host. And I say all that to say that we're coming up on a year now that the show has been in existence, and I'm grateful. That was a long way of saying that I'm grateful, but just wanted to take folks down a little bit memory lane. A night that I will never, ever forget, because at least personally, it was a momentous night. It was the first night that I stepped out on faith, on me leaning in that hopefully somebody would be interested in listening to something I had to say. And it's still special to me that now almost a year later that we've gone on this journey together. And then also obviously that night is memorable because there's a pretty unpopular, to use an unword, president in office now. And I was here on the radio with you guys covering it as it happened. And so definitely always a memorable and significant night in my life and in everyone's life, given how things have somewhat unfolded the past 11 months to now. And so next month is the anniversary month of the Gregory Neesmith Show, and we'll celebrate it all of November. But back to year two. I got sidetracked. Got a little emotional. What else about the Gregory Neesmith Show? Oh, year two. Let's talk about entrepreneurship. I talked about how the honeymoon is over in year two. Talked about nothing goes as planned. Talked about money. Also, something else that happens in year two is, for me, my relationship to rejection changed. And I'm so glad it did, or else who knows where I'd be right now. And what I mean by that is, in year one, the no's, the rejections never felt as personal or as challenging, because I could always fall back, and it may not be intellectually true, but I knew I could always convince myself, like, oh, if this other station or podcast network doesn't want what I'm doing, it's fine. Like, I'm new. I just started. I still can get better. They just want to see me do it a little bit longer. Or if someone originally doesn't listen to the show, or let's say some friends or family, like, they haven't checked it out yet, I'm like, oh, it's fine. The rejection doesn't hurt. The show's new. They haven't figured out where to get it on iTunes yet, or I'm not even on all the platforms. Or they just haven't had a chance to. I mean, the show's new. So rejections didn't really land on me as personal or as emotional, because in year one, like, everything's new, and, like, I just assume no's happen, and part of it would just be because, well, maybe just because I'm still trying this stuff on anyway. I might say no to me in year one. But in year two, the no's hurt. Because in year two, when I would attempt to get a coaching gig or a new client, or when the podcast downloads of some of the other shows that I were a part of in 2016 weren't growing the way I wanted them to. Or when someone would say, yeah, I'll pay for your services, but I'm only going to pay this amount, not the amount you want. The rejection hurt a little, because at this point, I couldn't say to myself, like, oh, I just started. I'm like, at this point, a year and a half in, or 20 months in. And it's just like, damn, these no's suck. But the truth is, the no's are part of the journey. And what I learned is that the no's actually at times were even more insightful and inspiring and informative than some of the yeses. Because what happened is, in year two, I started to realize that the no's were no more personal, less personal than the ones I got in year one. What happened was, I started to realize is that they were opportunities for feedback, for me to rewire some things. Or you'll hear terms, and I'll use these terms going forward more often in some future episodes, but I started to realize that, oh, the feedback, the no's were opportunities for me to realize, should I keep going? Should I proceed? Right? Because I talked earlier in the show that sometimes your first sale doesn't happen on the first contact, the second contact, the third contact, the fourth contact. 80% of sales happen on the fifth through 12th contact. So in some cases, I was able to start to be in a place where I'm like, oh, the no's or the rejections, part of it's just because it's part of the sales cycle. That you don't always get a yes on the first, second, third, or fourth contact. Like, that's okay. And so in some cases, the no's were like just part of the journey, and that I get to proceed. Secondly, the no's can be insightful from the standpoint of, they can help you, they can help me remix things. Or, as folks like to say, pivot. I love when basketball terms or terms that originated in basketball end up making it to the business terms, which is in basketball, you have a foot planted and you can change what direction you're looking at and viewpoint on the court with teammates or the basketball goal. And in business, you can still be planted in what your vision is, but pivoting, you may change your mission or change some of your tactics, change some of your strategies, even though your vision is still the same, which relates back to when I said before, be committed but not attached. So feedback, some of the no's gave me the opportunity to still be in my commitment of fighting for underdogs to go from stuck to unstuck, making sure we all get to rediscover how special we are in the world so we can go from underdog to contender to champ and then to legend. And that some of those no's in year two were opportunities for me to figure out how to pivot or to not take it so personally and actually be excited when someone goes, well, you know, Gregory, I listened to one of your shows and what I didn't really like is that it seemed a little staged, or, you know, I just wish you'd be a little bit more personal and vulnerable. Instead of taking it personally, what I realized is that those were opportunities for me to figure out how to actually make things better, how to remix stuff, and actually not take it personal in a bad way, actually take it personal in a good way, that that person who gave me that feedback loved me enough to tell me what they really thought and give me the opportunity to be even better so that I could actually go even further and faster towards my dream. So yeah, in year two, rejection hurts. It's personal. But the truth is you get to flip it to that it's either an opportunity to keep going, it's an opportunity to pivot and remix, or sometimes it's an opportunity to just totally restart and do something else. But in all cases, whether it's the pivot, whether it's the proceed, whether it's to just start anew, it's all good stuff to help you actually get through year two and be set up for success for a big time year three. And so I now can look back and actually be grateful for not only the cheerleaders in year two, those who would just say they loved whatever I did, no matter what I did. And hey, I'm human. Words of affirmation mean a lot to me. And I love hearing good job, or I love seeing you growing or you getting better. And not even, you know, they're not even critiquing. They're just like, just saying all the positives. Hey, some of that's good. Like, I don't know about for you, but I like some words of affirmation. That stuff is awesome. And I love the folks who just tell me the good stuff. But I now have a newfound appreciation for those who gave me, you know, constructive criticism. I appreciate it. And so, yeah, I do take the feedback personal, but now I take it with the perspective of, like, first of all, shout out to the people who are willing to love me enough to tell me what they really think, both good and bad. And also knowing that the feedback's all just an opportunity to figure out whether I should proceed, whether I should pivot, or whether I should just come up with something new. And all that to say, too, if you have feedback for me, I'm open to it. 212-650-6903. You can always call and tell me how you feel. Good, bad, or indifferent. Like, it's all good. Seriously. And on the Facebook Live at facebook.com/Gregory Neesmith, GREGORYNESMITH. I almost forgot how to spell my name. You can give me any feedback you have on there, too. Today's episode is unscripted. Why? Because I shouldn't be here. Not feeling well today. Battling a little bit of a cold. My hands a little swollen from a little energy yesterday. Playing basketball. Almost called out today. But I hate calling out at the last minute. So I'm here. Holding it down with you guys. Doing an unscripted show. Normally there's a lot of stuff where there's planning. There's prep going on. Because I feel like, you know, planning and the prep is so that I can do my best for you who could be doing anything in the world, but you either choose to listen to the show live or listen to the podcast. So I like to bring it for you guys every week. But today we're doing a little bit of just what's on your mind, what's on my mind, and we're just talking it out unscripted because you know I love to use some unwords. Shout out to Asha Davis, who'll be back in the building next week, holding it down with me. And shout out to you, all the underdogs who I've seen check in on the Facebook Live. And actually, I'm going to take a quick break so that I can go look at the Facebook Live because I'm in the studio pressing buttons, recording stuff, playing music, looking at the Facebook Live. I'm going to take a break, let the music play so I can look at the Facebook Live, see who's commented so I can then read your comment on air. Because to me, when you take the time to say something, I want to shout you out because this show is for underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally find the show. You've all made it to the right place. The Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Today's episode, Unscripted, talking mostly about year two, the middle child, not year three, not year one, but year two of entrepreneurship. More after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Today's episode, Unscripted, partly because I like using unwords, like underdog stuff, like a show for underdogs, like talking about the unbelievable, the uninhibited, the underrated, the unjust. You get it by now, underdog stuff. Today's show is unscripted because I wasn't even going to be here today, but, you know, a little under the weather, but powering through and actually always grateful to be on the air. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I'm also going to stick around in the 3 o'clock hour. We have a new sports talk radio show with a new host. And I believe this is his third or fourth week doing his thing. Sundays, 3 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WATR 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem. I'm going to stick around and help him out and co-pilot with him today. He doesn't need me here, but I'm here to help. We're family here, so we help each other out. And I remember what it's like to be starting a show, which I did starting my own show back in November 2016 and started it with Asha Davis and also Kirsten Magwood, who commented an underdog for life, and I appreciate that. And that is definitely how I feel, too. We are forever linked, and I am always on Team Kirsten and on Team Asha and Team Underdog. And also, Kirsten has a comment going, radio is so much work. Live leaves little room for error. That's true. I mean, you know, life happens live and so does live radio. And there's no do-overs. I mean, there is a 7-second panic button delay. So if something happens and someone curses or something goes really haywire, you can press that button. Also, you can always just turn some music on and cut things. But everyone still gets to witness that because it's live. And I like live, though, because when I'm out in the world helping people or brands or businesses go from stuck to unstuck, restarting and growing, and whether that's turn around businesses or help people turn around things that have been going on in their life, that stuff happens live. When I'm hosting workshops or group sessions and things like that, those things happen live. So part of me also enjoys an opportunity like radio where, again, I get to experience life with people and with myself live. But shout out to Kirsten, who does know how much it takes to put on a show, whether it's a film, because she is a filmmaker, whether it is producing TV shows, which she's also done, whether it's running her business, Pop Media, or whether it's producing and hosting her show, Best of the Best, which comes on midnights on Tuesdays here on WHR 90.3 FM. Appreciate you. And then shout out to Keon, who I just saw him comment, and he had the word understanding. He knows that I love unwords. Shout out to Keon. And I'm going to guess that may be in reference to maybe advice that he has for entrepreneurs, especially in their second year. And even if it's not, understanding is a good mindset, a good way of being in all parts of our lives. It reminds me of actually when I'm like having moments where I'm feeling defensive or, you know, feeling attacked, and like, you know, someone may go, I don't like your logo. And I may go into defense mode, like, well, I don't like, or attack mode, well, I don't like your logo, or I never liked your opinion, or, you know, whatever defensive, attacking comment when I may feel attacked. And when I'm being understanding, as Keon just wrote that word, instead of going into attack mode or being defensive when someone may say something like, well, I don't like your new logo. When I'm in an understanding mindset, I say things like, well, tell me what's not working about it. Or how would you have done it? Seeking understanding. I just wish there was more of that. We talked about actually the other week that Martha Ford, who's the owner of the Detroit Lions, it was reported she went to her players and said, I will donate whatever money to whatever charity you want in exchange for her players no longer taking a knee during the national anthem. And, you know, we could debate whether what her intentions were and whether that was good or bad. I just don't think it's effective. And I just think that it lands on me the wrong way. But one thing that likely would have helped her is if she would have operated from the place of the word that Keon used, which is understanding. To me, two questions before she said anything could have been to her Detroit Lions players, why are you protesting and how can I help? See, life is different when we come from a place of understanding than it is when we come from a place of not understanding. So, which leads me to don't be a dicka, who clearly was someone who wasn't coming from a place of understanding. I can't believe the 2 hours are almost up. I may not even get to the Mike Ditka story and him talking about he hasn't seen anyone be oppressed the past 100 years when being interviewed during Monday Night Football from earlier this week. Which, by the way, I haven't seen a snap of preseason or regular season football. You don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So, this is one of the things I'm standing for. And, oh, by the way, just as an aside, you know, oftentimes I do something called new rules. My new rule is anthem protest should be removed from our vocabulary because there is no such thing as an anthem protest. There's nobody protesting the national anthem. I just, just thought I'd throw that out there. Boycott the NFL and boycott that phrase. The phrase is not true. No one's boycotting the national anthem. Or protesting the national anthem, I should say. No one's protesting it. There's people protesting during it. But no one's, protesting to ban the national anthem or have it rewritten or anything like that. So stop it. Stop using the phrase anthem protests. Just as an aside, just thought I'd share that. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we got the big finish to the show. I can't believe 2 hours has gone by this fast. Today's episode, Unscripted. It's flying by. Shout out to all the underdogs and my people who tuned in today. On Facebook, you can kind of see who's jumped in and watched along the way and seeing some familiar names. And, like I've always said, be doing anything in the world right now. And I'm grateful that part of it today was spent with each other. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show, getting personal about the news and the culture after this. And by the way, speaking of getting feedback and things like that, let me know topics you'd want to talk about going forward. Are there things that we often talk about here that you want more of? Things that we don't talk a lot about that you want more of? Let me know. What's working, what's not, and what could be new? Because, like I said, what I learned in year two of entrepreneurship is rejection or critiques, criticism, feedback, it's all good. It's an opportunity to proceed, to pivot, or just come up with something new. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Let's get personal about the news and the culture after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Man, 2 hours flew by. We do this live radio show and podcast every Sunday, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Harlem in New York City. And then the podcast is up every Monday. Live show Sundays, podcast Monday. And you can find the podcast of The Gregory Neesmith Show on iTunes, on Podomatic, Google Play, and Stitcher. And shout out to all the underdogs and my people and occasional Trump supporters that have been downloading this podcast. We are in the top 100 trending today on Podomatic in their society and culture category. And that is pretty much how we've been trending most of the year. And because of your support. So, you know, as I come up on a year of this show, been starting to look back at some of the stats, and it's just been surreal to me that since the podcast went up starting December of last year, there's been over 11,000 downloads of it. And since the show's been carried on Facebook Live, along with some of the episodes replayed on YouTube, over 11,000 views on those two platforms. So, you know, over 20-something thousand interactions with underdogs and my people and the occasional Trump supporter, and just a lot of awesomeness and a lot of, like, still can't believe it, but appreciate all of you. With that, today's episode, Unscripted, is about to come to an end. Coming up next, sports talk, and I'm going to stick around for that. I love talking sports. I don't really talk a lot of sports on the Gregory Neesmith Show, but just so you know, I love playing sports. I love talking sports, so I'm looking forward to this. This is a treat to me. And also it's a treat because it's someone who, this may not be their first radio show, but I believe it's their first radio show on WHCR 90.3 FM. And I know what that's like because the Gregory Neesmith Show didn't exist until November last year, coming up on the 1 year anniversary. And so it's cool to now see someone starting their journey of their show. And I know what that's like and happy to be able to support. Today's topic that ended up being the unscripted topic was year two of being an entrepreneur. If you want to hear more about me talk about year one and the lead up to my year one, go back to the podcast, and I believe it's in early August of this year. It's called Episode Entrepreneurship, Past, Present, and Future, and you'll hear me talk about the lead up to leaving my job back in the fall of 2014, starting my first full year as an entrepreneur in 2015, and I share about, you know, some of the moments, the ups and downs, how I was feeling about it, and then I realized that I'm going to talk a lot about this year and year three because it involves the first anniversary of this show and some other stuff I've been up to. And I realized that I was skipping over year two, the middle child. And so today, thanks for coming along the journey as we talked about year two, things like dealing with getting over the honeymoon period, dealing with the potential that you may not be making any money yet. You're still investing, dealing with the fact that there's rejection that can come along in year two that feels even more personal than year one. And we talked about how, you know, we can grow from those things and keep moving and never have to choose between happy or wealthy. My unwritten rule for underdogs out there is we get to have both. So I'm going to keep doing my thing, spreading special stuff out here fighting for underdogs to go from stuck to unstuck, rediscover how special we all are in the world. And I look forward to a day where we go from underdogs to contenders, contenders to champs, and champs to legends. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote. Underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.